I'd like to do is see how many operating systems I can put on my system. So I probably have 30 or so versions of Ubuntu, Fedora, CentOS, and SUSE on my little netbook. And to have Greb work, I had to edit it and move the associated files back and forth. One of the problems I ran into is when I installed Ubuntu 9.04, is I changed Greb. And I ran through this, and after I dug it out how to make it work, I thought it'd be nice just to let everybody else know before they stumbled into it. No.
Was the change at 9.04 or 9.10?
I mean 9.10. Sorry.
They made some changes with 9.04 that threw me for a loop too.
You'll see I have a lot of the init, sysets, sysmaps files. These are for all the different versions of the OSs I have at the different levels. And as in the past, to do the booting, you go to the grub subdirectory, and you have your normal stuff there, but then you have to change your menu.list. And it's rather straightforward that you have your title, UUID, which I don't like. A little aside, as I found out, UUID can cause a problem if you do, like I do, DDs for backup. If you put the backup hard disk in, it don't work because it comes up with a different UUID. Has your kernel and your init, and pretty much all the way through. In the past, what I did is I copied this section off, saved it. When I installed something new, I could bring this back on and add it. Worked fine. Then when I did 9.10, I got, let's see here. Again, when you install a new one, it wipes everything out of boot. So you get your standard files there in boot with the upgraded. You go to grub. And you have a whole bunch of different looking files, which basically this all comes in with grub too. They do not have a menu list. Menu LST that you boot from. They have a grub.cfg. So, at the beginning, it looks a lot like Ubuntu normally does. Ubuntu has a lot of stuff at the beginning, setting your menu colors and all that. But when you get down farther into where you normally would have your menu list entries, You don't have a title. You have menu entry, LSMod, etc. You have SecRoot, Surge, Linux, all these, which are different from what the menu.list has. Let's see here. The and one other thing it does is it adds all your previous entries in to the menu, except it does not take them in order. I haven't figured out yet what order it takes it, but some of the things are at the end of the menu list before it, now we're at the beginning. So you have to look at it closely. Now you'll notice here, I use Logical Volume Manager for all the different OSs I have. This menu entry says it's Ubuntu, but if you look, this is for Fedora 6. It has, this is some of the stuff from the Ubuntu, so it mixes them too.
And they won't start. Could you say that again? You use what? You use Volume Manager?
Yeah, I use
Logical Volume.
So I can put all my different OSs on. I can change the sizes I want. So I shrink down the ones I'm not using the OSs, the minimum size, so I have more space on the one I want to use. So I can put more stuff on the same hard drive.
Thank you.
But some of the, it does two things. First, the top one is top section it has, where it imports everything, like I said, in a random order. Then I put in, copied in the what I had backed up. And you can change it in two places. You can change it the first part, which I found harder to do. By copying in the what I had backed up from the menu list at the bottom, I found that easier. But if you do it on the beginning part, you have to go in. First off, well, this says menu entry, so you would have to enter the, change the title so you know what you're really booting to. Then, well, this has set root. That's okay. Some of this is the same, but the biggest problem is finding out, I believe, what really is booting here and getting all the parameters in here set up. Yeah, Carl.
Okay, this may be a little bit off to the side. I'm trying to make sense of what you've got there, what you said earlier. It looks like it's doing a search. That search command,
right?
It's searching for a particular GUID, and it's
right.
I imagine that's the disk GUID, or is that
it's probably the volume, the logical volume of the POS is all on an LVM.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly what it is, but
yeah, can you use labels or device units?
Normally, I just use the devices. And, but
to me, that's way too much typing for me.
Yeah. This first part, I don't particularly like. I find it rather confusing. So, go down. Oh, okay. This is as it's installed. Then, I edited the grub.k account. Let's see, did I? Now, this is the bottom section. Oh, if you'll notice, I just put numbers at the front so I could keep track of what was what. But I had to change what this line had been root, changed it to set root. This line normally is kernel. You have to change it to Linux. Those are the two big things on there. There's a line that is, this line comes out to be, I need to check something else here. I think I got my instructions wrong. Okay, this is what I start off with, my previous menu list configuration that has root. Like I said, this gets changed to set root. You have the kernel, which becomes Linux. I'll go back to the other one. You have to add the floats around the title. You have to have the brackets around this, and no extra spaces. That'll break it. And then, like I said, change what was kernel to Linux. I think that's pretty much it. I know it's probably confusing. Yeah, Carl?
You said no extra spaces, but it looks like there's tabs between Linux and slash D.
Well, yes, but I'm talking about with the brackets. I can tab over for the bracket, but if you have a space after R, the space on here, it breaks it. And I hope this has helped some. I found it very confusing trying to figure it out. It's more by trial and error.
Did they have a man page for the GrubTube stuff?
No. And then that I found that really told you anything about this. I was just found it basically by comparing the new one with the old one, and then trial and error. And there were some lines that. You had the UUID line, and the UUID line, I think I just eliminated and typed in copied in the new set root line. Things like that, it was a lot easier. Yeah, Carl?
Did you play with the command line grub when we started?
No.
I was understanding that now had colors and
Yeah. Kinds
of fancy stuff.
And this has, like I said, this has the color, you can set your colors and all that. I think it's just basic colors. I think it might be nicer. down the road, but just converting from the old way of looking at things, I found it just very confusing.
So you, how did you get the Grove 2? Was that done by the upgrade?
That's the new that's what's standard on the new version, 910.
So if you upgraded the 910, or did you have to do a fresh install?
I did a fresh install.
Is that just with Ubuntu or is it Fedora 12?
I didn't try 12.
I understand that Fedora 12 will have the new Grub 2.
But my understanding, yes, is that everything will be going to it in
it
the future.
It for 5 years. It's about time. No.
I noticed that that they did something that, at least in Ubuntu, they have like the mark section that's kind of a standard. Fill in the blanks here, or fill in the stuff here, and it'll use it as a template. Mm-hmm. Mark with triple hashes, and remarks are just double with single hashes, or something like that. I forget that.
Well, I'm not sure if that's Grub 2 or if that's Ubuntu.
I think that's Ubuntu.
Because that's been there in the previous versions, and that has caused me problems, because once you get this all fixed, if you do an update on Ubuntu and it has anything that updates the kernel, it redoes this whole thing. So before you do an update, you back it all up, and I haven't gotten to that point yet.
There's a way to stop from doing that, though. Isn't Debian, was it like dev.conf or not? It should, like, ask you what to do. But I don't know why the device is out on that.
I know in the previous versions, it does ask you. And it appeared to me that if you choose not to let it change, it really doesn't put the all the updates in. So, any other questions?
Do you know what the motivating factor was behind moving to Grub? What are the main benefits of Grub 2?
I don't know. Right now, I don't see any personally. But
the pages.
If you go to Wikipedia and read the articles on bootloaders and Grub, and they'll lead you to the Grub 2 stuff, and it starts talking about all of the things that the new Grub 2 is designed to deal better with virtualization.
And it also, it boots off with the new EFI and GPT labels for like disks over 2 terabytes or Macs. Macs use the EFI and GPT labels.
And PCs.
And they've been using a workaround to that where they call it Refit and GPT Sync that basically creates an NPR label that it uses to boot off of, but with Grub 2, you'll just get them.
Yeah. On the new page, it says it's become unmaintainable because of messy code and design failures. They got a lot of feature requests and kept extending it, scope creep, and got it to where it was impossible to extend it further without removing it.
Yeah.
I understand that Grub 2 doesn't have a stage 2 or 1_5. Anybody know what they did with that? And typically, when you're making copies of the NPR, you got to get that first cylinder, because it puts some of the Grub code in behind the partition record. So you got to do the first 63 sectors. So what did they do with that? Did they eliminate it? Obviously, they've got quite a bit of code in this to do all this, I would think. Anybody know?
Oh,
man. Yeah, this is basically just so you can get up once you install it, so you can do something again. I haven't gotten into really seeing more about what Grub 2 does.
So you're saying you had to hand edit all your initial Grub entries?
Either type a lot or do a lot of cut and paste.
Just out of curiosity, how many installs do you have here?
About 34, 35, something like that.
Are there people out there with more than you?
I don't know.
There's a website where a guy's running 115 different distros.
Oh, my gosh.
if you can do it.
It's a whole room and it's hard drive, but
mm-hmm.
yeah.
No. Okay.
So you're our local consultant on this?
Gary McKee, Grub 2 expert.
You know what an expert is, right?
What?
Everybody knows an expert is, you break it down, an excess of has-been and a spurt is a drip under pressure.
Okay, you're at the monthly meeting, monthly general meeting of the St. Louis Unix Users Group, so you thought you were somewhere else. You're wrong. This is the middle of our meeting. We do the Oreo cookie version of meeting. We got a presentation on the front, presentation on the back, and in the middle we do the announcements, the Q&A, and a little bit of a break. So we're at that part where we're doing the announcements. So anybody have any announcements? Jeff?
Yeah, we had some issues over at primary this afternoon. That would be the major issue right there.
Oh.
Went to remove Bud after a kernel cache. It came up with multiple fan errors. So I lost a CPU fan, lost a I.O. fan. Reseated it, cleaned it, nothing worked. So I wound up pulling fans out of Bud Light. So Bud Light is down and accessible. Chose to do it that way because, at least with Bud, we still have discussed, we still have the majority of the web pages. Bud Light, we do not have users.sloop.org. We do have recent backups, and the data is still all in Bud Light's hard drive. There's just nothing to power them up right now. So the search for fans is on.
We need two things. We could probably find some fans somewhere, but we desperately need some extra modules so we can have spares. So the next one that died, we're going to swap the module instead of physically tearing apart the
mounting bracket.
Yeah, the mounting bracket and the hardware. If anybody knows anybody with some Compact 6400 and stuff in their junk box, it would be very grateful.
Good luck.
Tony, where
are you? I'm stopping by there tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
More, Jeff?
I already talked to him.
Nope, that's it.
That's it? Yeah, the amazing thing is
Gary, what's this Bud and Bud Light stuff you're talking about? I'm a new guy. I have no idea.
Well, first off, the amazing realization, I mean, everyone knows just doing a kernel patch, it's all software, right? It doesn't affect hardware.
You want to bet?
I think you need to write back to the kernel maintainers and tell them what disaster the new patch has done. So, for those of you who don't know, Bud and Bud Light are two of the machines. We've called them our bulletin board system over the years. It's basically a cluster of machines that we've maintained for the use of the membership over the years. So there's Bud Light, there's
Bush,
Bach. Obviously,
I love your naming convention.
Here.
This all started one night when we were thinking, okay, what are we gonna, and no one can come up with a name, and where are we going to go after this? Well, I didn't let you know where that goes. So,
we already had Toy Story.
So things like when you get stuff on the mailing list, our mailing lists are run off on Bud in this case. You can have an email account and a user homepage, web page. They're maintained off these machines. We also were doing for a while where we were trying to put the different machines on different releases. So we've got some machines that are running Solaris, some machines that are running Debian. And we're trying to put different things out there so that the users can get on and try different things. And if you want to see if something works, if we've got something out there running it. And we do it mostly with hardware that we've either gotten donations for or that we paid very little for. And so occasionally we wind up with a situation where we need to maintain the hardware as well. So,
how do you go about getting a user account on one of these machines or all of those machines?
You can get an account on one of these machines by filling out the little form that somebody has. Carl, you have the forms?
Stan has forms. Are also available online at the sloop.org website. Or see any one of the board members. Raise your hands, guys. Officers. We have available four sets of memberships. We've got just the base. I'm too cheap to buy anything else. membership at $10. We have a sustaining membership at $35. We have a gold account at $70. And for those who are really serious and really want to help us, especially in times of need, now the fans aren't going to be $100, but there's other things that we like to do for, like the business,
small business expo.
We have to pay for our place there. We have a platinum account at $100. Oh, if you have a business such as one of our major businesses in St. Louis, like OmniTech, they pay, you can get a business account, which gives your business logo on the system. And people go to SLUG.org. At random, we put up the business, what do we call it, sustaining, not sustaining member, that's member sustaining. I'm sure there's some kind of fancy sponsor. There we go.
Sponsor, yeah.
Sponsor.
That's get your logo corner.
As you can tell, we're no good at selling this stuff at all.
It's not free, so I can't sell it. But anyhow, for businesses, it's $200 a year. Cheap advertising for $200 a year. We have thousands of hits on this site a month, so there's lots of traffic on it.
And thanks to Jerry here, when you buy a membership, your name appears on the SLUG website.
So come and see one of us during the break, which is coming here very shortly, if you're interested. The nice thing is we've got a big, fat pipe there. And it's really nice that when I want to pull down some DVD, but if I go home and do it through Charter onto a busy site, then it takes forever. But I can go on to Bud Light and get that thing down, head home, and by the time I'm home, it's already in Bud Light. And coming from Bud Light to home is much faster than going to a busy site. So there's all kinds of benefits to it.
Plus, if you ever have a situation where you're doing work, you can just temporary back up something.
There you go. No, yeah, I've done that too. I throw stuff up on there and case it blows. So it's very, very useful. And it gives you access to machines down at Washington University and right across the street here at Primary. Which I haven't heard the status of, we just recently had a member purchase 20 73 gig fiber drives. And the
those are actually installed, and considering that the HBA is on the machine that has no fans right now, they're not doing as much good.
Fine. But at least they have lots of backups.
Cool.
If anyone would like to volunteer after this meeting to go over to Primary and stand there going like this.
We'll start talking.
I don't think so.
It's not going to do much good unless you figure out how to trick the sensor into telling
Ice cube.
Okay, I think we've got to move on to real announcements, like Carl has an announcement about the St. Charles Blood.
Yes, yeah, St. Charles Blood and Jesus Group. November and December, we're going to put that off until January. The restaurant had some people who wanted to use the room. I have relatives coming into town. Same thing for Christmas. So we're going to take a bit of a hiatus because both the holidays this year fall right on the St. Charles Linux Jesus Group meeting. And although my wife is used to it, there is a limit. You can go, but I can't.
Conversely, my wife says, don't you have another meeting to go
to? So if you postpone until January, does that mean there'll be three St. Charles Lug meetings in January to catch up?
That's an idea. Yeah.
No. One week?
Well, that's an
except
idea.
For nothing less.
No.
And just because we like to find out where new people came from, if there's anybody new, is anybody here for the first time or one of the few times you've been here before, see Stan, the guy waving in the back with the clipboard. Just catch him at the break because he's just trying to figure out where people heard about us, and so he's trying to keep track of, you know, where people are finding out about us, so we have some idea where to keep getting people from. So
this is that part where they ask you for your email address, your financial information.
No. All Stan wants to know is where you heard from us. So
it helps us put all our advertising dollars in the right place. All $0 of them.
Two other things which are free, no charge. There's the announce mailing list. If you're not on announce, there was a place on Stan's clipboard there where you can clip, could be on announce, and that just sends out basically a once a week email that has like a events this week that are all computer related or techie related. So it's kind of a low volume list. On the other extreme, there's the discuss list. Discuss list has actually been pretty quiet, but it basically is the Q&A that we're about to have here. You can basically ask any computer type question and see if somebody has an answer for you. There is some days, this week has been pretty quiet. I mean, it's only been like two or three postings a day, I think, on Discuss. Other times... Yeah. So, but other times, you know, somebody will start some comment or thread and you'll wind up with, you know, 20 people answering it, all with good answers. And, you know, it's like, yeah, you can fix it. But I know where there's fans like that. Or all you have to do is go in, trick the sensor. And so it's a wealth of information out there. So sign up for either, both, whatever does it for you. Carl?
And one more place, thanks to a couple of people. I can't see. We now have an IRC that is working fairly well. I have yet to get on it myself, but it is on the IRC node.
It's been around a while.
It's been a free node.net, and it's pound swoop, S-L-U-U-D.
Of course, I mean, that's kind of ancient for all these image types that like all the Macs and Apple stuff. You know, it's text only, no picture.
There's client.
Pigeon.
Or any of your...
you don't have to go text only.
Is that right? Is that right?
Just say no.
Yes.
Okay, other announcements. Okie dokie. That brings us to Q&A. You can ask any question you want. Except for Linux.
Has anybody had a problem getting Ubuntu 9.10 to connect to an unsecure Wi-Fi network?
I've not tried it.
Well, I'm connected to an unsecure Wi-Fi network right now with 9.10.
How come I can't? Any idea?
I know that I am having problems with the DNS here.
No, I'm saying it will not connect to any open network. I can go to WPA or WP just fine, but if it's unsecure, it won't connect.
And you know what? That's the funky. Is it running GNOME?
No. Well, I don't know. It's UNR, Network Remix.
I was going to say,
you're pretty good with this.
The GNOME thing really works badly.
Hey, the damn thing worked with 9.04 because I had one of these in June. I took to Alaska. It worked fine. Well, I bought a new one and put 9.10 on it, and it won't connect to an open network.
Lee, are you using Network Manager to connect?
Yes.
Is there maybe a checkbox in there that got added for...
I didn't see one. I fought all the way through it, thinking that might, you know, they might have added something about connect only securely, but I couldn't find anything.
Well, I know one thing, the GNOME key ring. I would like to take a large hammer to that. That is such a
pedo. I will say that in Ubuntu 9.04, I installed it when it first came out in April or whatever that was, and I had it seemed that I had never bothered to put a CD play music in before. Before I updated 9.10. And just like a week or two before that, I happened to, I'll load one of my four music CDs. And I loaded it in there, and bam, all my icons disappeared. There was a particular bug in GNOME, or, no, it wasn't in GNOME. It was in X4. It was a bug. And what happened, it just erased all the icons. And I had to replace with something related to the DVD burner they had in there. And it only affected certain Intel chip machines. Yeah. And I just happened to be one of the guys that had one of those. And so I had to reload everything and swap that out. And then when I did an update from that machine to 9.10, don't know what I did, but I did it again, and they all disappeared. All my icons disappeared. But it wasn't from loading a CD. It just it seemed like, I think part of the problem was that a lot of the historical stuff in GNOME was left over from when I was running GNOME under Ubuntu and Fedora in a common home directory. So I just wiped everything out, all the .GNOME files and everything, and that seemed to fix it. Yeah, but the solution was to go in, the workaround was to go in and erase those .gnome config, stuff like that. But actually, I couldn't get it to work in that one account before. So what I had to do was create a dummy account and copy those directories over to the dummy account, because there must have been obviously some garbage left over. Hidden files are the equivalent of the Windows registry kind of junk, or I guess.
Well, I'm having a problem where on this network here, I guess, like, the DNS is really slow.
It's horribly slow. Mm-hmm.
And when I use the host command to try to look a name up, it's saying reply from unexpected source, and then eventually the connection times out. And it's like it's getting the reply back from a different IP address than the one that it's sending the request to. And I've tried to look up a workaround for that, but I'm guessing it sounds like nobody else has found it already.
Where's John? What's our assignment?
I'm wondering if you could change resolve.conf to a decent name server.
I tried changing it to one of the ones that it was getting a response, an unexpected response back, and it just has the exact reverse effect. It still gets an unexpected response, but just from a different ID. Okay.
Bill, what's a good name server? What's that, John?
But you can't. I don't think you can hit that directly from their network here. You have to use their DNS or not at all.
Oh, I'm using something.
Hey,
just came up.
Guess what? Ubuntu 9.10 is acting like Windows. Reboot and it fixes it.
Ooh. Oh my God.
That's scary. It's more familiar user experience.
So you can't get to a different name server.
Right, you can't get to a name server that's outside of their network, because that's locked.
Also, under Ubuntu 9.10, it seemed to me that a lot of things didn't quite work right until I actually did reboot the system three times.
I can't have that.
Yeah, so I don't know what's going on with that. Maybe just building temporary.
You know, there's a lot of out-of-work Microsoft engineers.
Yeah. Well, even all that mono stuff.
You got hired by Ubuntu.
If Barry or John come down from their offices, since they're local here in the building, they'd probably be the ones that might give us a clue on the names and everything.
Well, they've been
I had a question for the audience. How many people here, show of hands please, read the website tonight before they came in here?
Tried to, couldn't get on.
That's because
do you mean in the last week, or do you mean in the last hour?
Today. Okay.
The Sloob site?
Yeah, the Sloob website. The one right there.
The one with the bad fans.
I was looking at it yesterday because I was updating the yesterday for Facebook events.
Yeah. Well, up until yesterday, late sometime, we were still advertising as having Snow Leopard. Mm-hmm. Well, we're not going to do that tonight. We're doing Castadian dial sheets.
Okay. Yes.
I got that update. That was yesterday.
Yeah,
right?
I saw that.
That came through the email. But then you have Gary, guys like Gary that don't read his email.
How many other people are here for Snow Leopard? Okay, well, nice seeing y'all. Bye.
Carl.
I have a question. I'm KDE man for years and years, and I've been forced to endure, not endure. I am learning GNOME because of some servers I'm working with. And these things, they're supposed to be hooked up without monitor and keyboard. They get stuck away in a case, and then you should be able to connect a keyboard and monitor to them and have it work. But half the time, GNOME is, X can't start because GDM can't authenticate. Apparently GDM uses, or GNOME uses, TCP sockets instead of Unix sockets, like a real, KDM does. And as a result, it blows up if the network isn't perfect. Anybody got a workaround that so I don't have to diagnose these things from the other side of the country? Especially talking to some RT who's fresh out of training, has no idea what I'm talking about. It's really frustrating. Recruit.
Are somebody in India?
No, these are all military.
So what exactly is the problem?
The problem is if the network isn't perfect, GDM can't authenticate to start up the X. XOR. And it fails and tries, and it takes a minute or two and then gives up the window saying, it's broken, I'm going to try again. And finally, after three attempts, then once you look at the XOR.com and all that other stuff, which doesn't do a thing for you, what you got to go in there is and fix the network, which really doesn't matter because there's nothing but one laptop with static IP connected to a server with a static IP. There's no
What's it trying to authenticate?
What do you have to fix about the network, and what's it trying to get?
We'll have to go in and fix the network, fixresolve.com, because if you plug it into a network and Red Hat always wants to help you out, and it says, oh, I can't find a network, so it then tries to go to DHCP and screws up all your network settings, which means that the laptop can no longer connect up to it. And then, trying to tell this guy how to do command line things to fix it.
So it's not supposed to be using DHCP?
No. It's supposed to be static. It's set in iPhase. I guess I need to go in there and kill the network manager or something.
Good.
Well, you can turn that service off. I had some stuff.
Yeah.
So in your etsy, sysconfig, network,
interfaces,
ifconfig, whatever, EK0.
Right, those are all, in there set.
So the boot protocol is set to none, right?
Right.
But it still tries to use DHCP.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's part of the Avahi.
Right, that's
what it is. Yeah, so I'd probably like to turn the Avahi off. I haven't gotten to this thing to go through the DISA remediation on it. Still working on the friggin' Windows laptop.
It doesn't see the link, or it's not.
Yeah, to try it, it basically substitutes. It gives what I had in there. It renames it to ETH0.back and ETH1.back, and creates a whole new ETH0 and ETH1. So you got to go in there and delete that and restart the network, and everything works. It's a real pain.
Something you said reminded me of another problem I ran into installing Ubuntu 9.10. The default configuration uses the fancy wiggly jiggly stuff on the screens, and that doesn't work too well if you got a video card that's only got like 4 mega RAM. So you got to go turn that off, because what happens is you don't have a title bar on your pop-up window, so you can't close the windows.
Yeah.
So you have to go in and turn off the fancy graphics thing, and you also the human default layout that they use for all the buttons and stuff. That doesn't work too well either. You need to check something else. Or at least I did with my machine. So other people might run into that problem.
Did you say this was Red Hat Enterprise?
Yeah, RHEL 5. And the video card is not a problem for something that's supposed to be a headless server.
Yeah. So next, since it's RHEL 5, did they buy support?
They did for a year.
When was the year up?
Oh, it's probably still going.
September 30th?
Last week.
You know, my experience with Red Hat support is 14 emails, and by the time you get the 12th or 13th, you've already found the answer and fixed it. Because you got fired. Because you send them an email, and it's not another day or so before they email you back.
Then you need to send those emails to figure it out.
Do what?
It's a requirement for you to send those emails to figure it out for yourself.
There you go.
That's right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I know this is the Fedora stuff, which is kind of sort of red-headed. For like Fedora 8 and 9, the network connector was horrible. I could not set a server up to be a static IP address.
Right. I had that same problem. And then it wasn't with 8 and 9. I had it with 10. And then that was when it first was released. Then after about 2 months, whatever was going on, they got the problem fixed.
Okay, because at 10 on my laptop, it worked really good, so I was really happy with it. But I never tried to do static with it.
Right when it came out, or after that?
Actually, right when it came out.
See, I had problems.
But they had that was all nice then?
Yeah, the problem was resolved. I can give you the install disk if you want an experience.
Like in Red Hat, you found Fedora 11?
Fedora 11 worked.
Regarding Red Hat, I'm just going to make the comment that it's like the only company out there that's like supposedly supporting their operating system, and we need to hold our feet to the fire. I mean, if you're working with a customer and the customer's got support, just because you know the support is lousy, don't not use it. You know, I mean, call the people, put the thumb screws on Red Hat to step up their support model.
They have different tiers of support as well. I know it worked. I've got an account where I can call on home, which I need to call like every 8 months, maybe. And it's always worked out well. I have somebody who knows what he's doing on the other end of the phone, but they've got some email support options.
Email support.
That's probably not like
slow as it's.
My comment is going to be too is you might do pound Fedora and see if you have any luck with the crowd out there that may be working.
I find that I can usually get the answer in half an hour off to discuss. With Red Hat, it takes 2 or 3 days.
Well, not only that, but with Fedora, you can also get yourself in trouble with people that think they know everything and just want to poke you in the eye as opposed to answer your question.
Or you can do like Rich does, and with the first email he sends to Red Hat, put in there, this is the 10th email I've sent you on this issue.
Did I say 10th? I meant 1.0. That's about the decimal point?
My
question
is only binary.
It's only the second time.
And he's saying Experts Exchange is a good place to go.
Yeah, we've got paper.
Yeah,
995.
Well, you just
scroll down.
It's there. They come in the same days.
Just scroll down to the bottom page down.
Or maybe Google cache one because it found the answer. It was all. It's in Google's cache.
Yeah.
They try to hide it, so it's there somewhere usually.
Well, Google's cache.
But you can't see it. Oh, in the cache mean. Okay.
That's almost
cheating. We got any other questions? First of all, you asked how many more people might have a question. Okay, down to one. If somebody doesn't have a question, you can still ask. Great.
Where would people go after the meeting?
An excellent question. Don is going to be hungry and thirsty after this meeting. Now, officially, of course, we're not doing anything. But unofficially, some people might be found with Don after this meeting. Carl, where do you think somebody might find Don after this meeting?
We're a Cardinals town, you know? I like baseball. So I'm going to guess and say Pool 5, Westport Plaza. Come out of here, make a right, go up to the top of the hill, make a right, go over to Westport, and if you go all the way towards the end, you can go underground and park right underneath Pool Holes. Bring your ticket with it because they'll stamp it, and you get a heavy discount.
But if you leave too late, there won't be anybody there.
There won't be anybody there, so have a couple extra beers and start a little later. Or a couple extra lemons and water, sure.
All right. See the gentleman next to.
Well, I have a question, sort of. And I don't know how to ask it because I'm afraid to ask it. But my wife just got laid off last Thursday from her work. I've been laid off from my mainframe jobs, and I was learning OpenSUSE for 10 years at home. And my main question is there anybody out there hiring entry-level people like me on Linux?
Okay, go to the SLUG webpage. One of our most generous sponsors is SysLogix. Sue at SysLogix.
Sue at SysLogix.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, where it is.
Spell it through.
Sue
Logistics.
It's pronounced its logic, but Sue spells it.
So. Somebody spell it.
S.
That's
S-Y-S.
L-L-L.
Two L's?
Two L's.
O-G-I-S-T-I-C-S.
Okay. The first S, I mean, the second S, it's S-Y-L, right? There's no S-Y-S-L.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. S-Y-L-L-O-G-I-S.
Well, I don't feel so bad. I can spell it, yeah. Obviously.
Two L's.
Our website, two L's. Click on the icon.
I-C between the T and the S.
No,
like that.
That's fine. It's after.
After
the T.
After the T.
No.
After the T. Is it
T-I-C-S?
E-K-S.
Oh,
T-K-S?
E-K-S.
And they said this was easy.
Yes.
Go to the sponsors page.
Yeah, go to the sponsors page.
Look for something that looks kind of like that.
It may be one of the rolling icons right on the front page.
But there are other headhunters that do contribute to the group, and we would prefer that anybody use them, such as Silogix.
Strategic Staffing Solutions.
Yeah, S3.
Yeah. So go to the sponsors page and use those.
Okay, great.
You want to go where you found it.
From SLUG, and you're looking for it. Okay, good. Thank you.
Great.
Because it's been
tough.
Yeah. Well, on my mainframe job 9 years ago, I lost $56,000 a year. Going into my second passion was pianos. So going from $56,000 a year to between $10,000 and $12,000 a year. And now my wife just lost her job, so that now cut us almost $60,000 a year.
What profession is she in?
Business analyst at Blue Cross.
Ooh. Another IT, well, not actually IT, but a business analyst, right?
Yeah.
There'll be some work for her.
Yeah, because it's...
Yeah, talk to the same places about her.
And if you've been on the bulletin board for Excel with the career builders...
Not recently, but I've been out there...
Yeah, there's even stuff on Craigslist. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Look on Craigslist.
Get some firewood laid out, too.
Okay. Great.
Real quick, in addition to Experts Exchange, there's a new site called Server Fault, where it's sort of the same idea, but it kind of works a bit better. It's more community-oriented. There's actually, it's the second of three sites. The first one is Stack Overflow, which is for programmers. It's got real good reception. Server Fault for sysadmins, and superuser.com for advanced users.
Serverfault.org?
Yep, .com.
.com. Serverfault.com.
Okay.
Great.
Okay, we can carry on after this meeting at some other place where they have food and beer and other things. And cheap conversation.
Where we will celebrate Computers and Veterans Day. But first, we're going to take a quick 10-minute break, 5-minute break, whatever, and then we'll be back for the main presentation, which will be Bill Edney. Cascading Style Sheets. Come back in 5.
Can
you
make it out?
Wi-Fi dead
here?
Kind of
direct. No, it's fine. I mean, you know, Scott, called me.
Yes, it is.
And I'm like, dude, I haven't even...